It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Learn more.
WCFM 81 Bus from the Town Fair Tire Studios, home of the Celtics, Bruins, Rams, and Patriots.
Into the end zone! Touchdown!
Boston's home for sports is 85 The Sports Hub. Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
Well, after 2.5 weeks, the Bruins are finally getting back on the ice this afternoon. The matchup with the Buffalo Sabres at TD Garden. Face-off 1 o'clock. Coverage begins with the Duncan pregame at 12:30 across the New England Honda Bruins radio network. The Bees announcing yesterday they are scheduling Willie O'Ree's jersey retirement ceremony for January 18th, long overdue. The Celtics snapped a three-game losing streak with a 123-108 win over the Suns yesterday without Jason Tatum. The Seas got 24 points each from Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown and a triple-double out of Robert Williams. They'll host Orlando tomorrow night. Prior to the game yesterday, the team announcing the passing of Sam Jones at the age of 88. Jones won 10 NBA championships in 12 seasons with Boston, was a five-time All-Star. The Patriots host the Jaguars tomorrow in Foxborough. On the injury report, Nelson Agholor ruled out with a concussion. Eight players are listed as questionable, including Damian Harris, J.C. Jackson, Kyle Duggar, Dante Hightower, and Christian Barmore. NFL quarterback news. The Vikings will not have Kirk Cousins this week. He's got COVID. He's not vaccinated. Can't test back in. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson missed practice again yesterday. Has not yet been ruled out for tomorrow's game against the Rams. The Bears are going with Andy Dalton as their starter this week, and Jimmy Garoppolo is doubtful for the Niners game against Houston. And longtime NFL coach Dan Reeves has passed away this morning at the age of 77. College football, it's Georgia and Alabama for the national championship. Alabama beat Cincinnati yesterday 27-6. Georgia rolled Michigan 34-11. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, who wants to help you prepare your car for all your 2022 road trips. They offer completely contactless service with their 15-minute drive-through service. You don't even need to make an appointment. Just visit getanoilchange.com for a coupon to save on your oil change. I'm Ryan Johnston on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines next hour.
We've got the Patriots all year long. From the draft,
your New England Patriots select,
to the Super Bowl.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150. Win or lose, bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name's Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pep, Celtics, and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday.
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
All right, welcome in here on a Saturday for Gasper and Murray. No Murray today. Ryan Johnston sticking around for an extra 90 minutes to hang with Chris Gasper and talk all things sports, New Year's, who knows what else. What's going on, Gasper?
Nothing much, Ryan. Happy New Year. How you doing?
Happy New Year to you.
We starting the New Year with the double, huh?
Yeah. Hey, no problem for me. It's a holiday pay, right?
Yeah.
But I think I was trying to think, like, I know we've hosted together before, but I'm thinking it's probably been 8 years or so.
It was
something
definitely,
like that.
So it was definitely the old studio.
In fact, it might have been the first time I ever hosted was with you as a fill-in, a weekend guy back at that point, before Johnston and Flynn ever became a thing. I think my first show might have been with you. So good to be back with you.
Lots to
fit in here in 90 minutes. We got a little bit on the Celtics yesterday. I think both of us have some thoughts coming out of that game. And obviously there's a lot going on with the Bruins, as we just did for the last 2 hours. But I want to start with the Patriots as they get ready for a matchup with Jacksonville that, you know, under normal circumstances, Chris, a matchup with the Jacksonville Jaguars in early January, not exactly at the top of my list for, oh, man, I can't wait to tune in for that one. But given what's happened with the Patriots the last couple of weeks, this is a really important game because it's one of those games where, hey, I don't just want to see them eke out a win here. I need to see something special out of this team that indicates that they're closer to what we saw during the 7-game winning streak than what we've seen over the last couple of games.
Yeah, I mean, this is a get-right game for them, Ryan. You know, this game's really more about the Patriots than the opponent, you know, especially when the opponent is the woeful Jacksonville Jaguars, 2-13, the worst team in the NFL, in my opinion. They're worse than the NFL in points scored at 14.5. This is an opportunity for the Patriots to get their mojo back and sort of work on themselves, for Mac Jones to get his mojo back. And you're right. I mean, you want to see a decisive victory here against a team that you are superior to build some confidence and build some momentum here as you get closer and closer to the playoffs. And also to, you know, sort of keep the idea alive that you keep a little bit of pressure on the Buffalo Bills to take care of business against Atlanta tomorrow and the Jets in the season finale to make sure, you know, you still have a chance. It's a small chance, but still have a chance to get that division title. So, yeah, this game to me, you know, a lot of times we break down these games. Here's what the other team has. Here's what they can do. This has nothing to do with Jacksonville and everything to do with the Patriots and whether they can get back on the beam. And to your point, you know, are they closer to the team that won 7 in a row, or are they closer to the team that lost 2 straight to fellow playoff contenders?
I just wish Urban Meyer was still around to take the drubbing that he so rightfully deserves tomorrow at the hands of Belichick and the Patriots. Overall thoughts, look, there's the game three games back against Buffalo where Mac Jones threw 3 passes, rather famously. The Indy game, he was required, because of the situation, to do a lot more or try to do a lot more in that game. And then last week, 14 out of 32 against Buffalo, throws a couple of picks. You know that, or you should have known that as this season went on, even when things look good for Mac Jones, that, look, he's a rookie. There's going to be, you know, ups and downs. There's going to be some peaks and valleys. How much concern does what we've seen out of him lately put into you as far as his development? Is this just the normal rookie, you know, rookie peaks and valleys, like I said, or did people start to think a little bit too highly of him when for a lot of this season they haven't really asked him to do a whole lot?
I think it's the latter. I think this is more water finding its level. And that level is very good for a rookie quarterback. But I think people got, you know, out in front of their skis here and were saying, well, he's a top 10 quarterback in the league already. He's better than guys like, you know, Matt Ryan. Just because someone's performing at a top 10 level or they're putting up numbers, that doesn't mean they're a top 10 quarterback. For example, a few years ago, Case Keenum had a top 10 quarterback year. Has anybody ever looked at and said Case Keenum's a top 10 quarterback? Or when I covered the team in 2008, go back and look at Matt Castle's numbers. He finished in the top 10 in a number of categories. Why? Because he grew throughout the year. He did a very good job, but also he was managed expertly by Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. Same thing with Mac Jones. He's not at a top 10 quarterback level yet. Is he one of the top? Is he in the top half of quarterbacks in the league, say the top 15? Absolutely. Yes, he is. Already he's a rookie. Very promising. But people started to equate, you know, during their winning streak, their success to the quarterback position the same way they did when Tom Brady was here. Well, we're winning, and because we're winning, it means our quarterback is leading the charge, and he's very good. To me, the quarterback play on the list of things that was contributing to their winning was down the list. It was defense first. I would say running game second. Offensive line third. Here's where people get mad at me, but I'm going to say it anyway. The kicker fourth, the kicker leads the NFL in points and has made the most field goals. And I say that because they had three games they won during that winning streak where the offense only scored one touchdown.
Their red zone offense was terrible.
Yeah, and the kicks he made were huge and them putting points on the board. The quarterback fifth for me. And that's fine. I mean, that's the way the team is built. The team is built not to rely on the quarterback. What you've seen is when you get behind, you do have to rely more on the quarterback. And that's where he's a rookie comes in. That's a tall task and a big ask for any rookie. And they haven't been able to do it the last 2 weeks.
That said, do you think that Mac Jones is capable of giving more than he has, than they've called up on to this point? Because there have been times this year where I feel like I've gotten frustrated because they're not taking the training wheels off. It's like, listen, I think this kid's better than you're letting him be. I'd like to see how good he can be. In a couple of weeks, when you get into the postseason, the expectation is he's going to have to be better than you've allowed him to be for much of this season.
I mean, he's had some great games. I think about that Tennessee game. It was a great game. Yep. He was immense against Cleveland. I don't look at the play call. I think the play calling's been there to protect him. And I think if you watch him play, and he's talked about this as well, you know, the beginning of the year, he was playing it really safe. Like, he took a ton of checkdowns, and there were other throws there. Remember the beginning of the year when it was, you know, first four or five games, it's like, man, they haven't even thrown a ball into the end zone yet. I think that was more Mac. Now I think his confidence has grown. He takes more shots. You know, I think of the throw he made to Kendrick Bourne in between a couple of guys. I think about the throw he made to Kendrick Bourne against the Titans on third and goal, a 4-yard touchdown pass where he just sort of put it up there for him. So Mac Jones has made a lot of improvements. I don't look at Mac Jones and say he's the problem for this team. I just think the way they built the team, it's a team that's built to play from ahead. And I think they've been exposed a little bit as sort of front runner-ish the last couple of games. And I don't mean that necessarily as a pejorative, but the reality is the team is built to play from ahead. They have a suffocating defense. If they can make the other team one dimensional, that's great. They have a great rushing attack, so they can run out the clock. You look at that Buffalo game, Ryan, they scored the three touchdowns, right? All those drives were 10 plays or longer, and two of the three took 7 minutes or longer. It's hard to come back from double-digit deficits when you're that methodical offensively.
Well, let's talk about the defense for a second, because feel like some of those guys who have had really good seasons have not exactly performed to that same level in the last couple of games. Are there concerns there? Because when you get into the postseason, if Mac Jones isn't going to be a 4-touchdown, no-interception guy and 350 yards, you're going to need really good performances out of your defense, they haven't gotten them against two playoff teams in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think the defense is good. It is a little disconcerting what's happened the last 2 weeks. I'll tell you why. Because in both of those games, what do we always say about Belichick? Oh, he's going to take away what the team does best. That didn't happen against Indy or Buffalo. Both those teams were able to win the game doing what they do best. Indy running the football, Buffalo throwing it all over the yard and never punting. So that's what's concerning about the Patriots defense. I don't think the wheels are coming off, but I think they're slowing down a little bit. And I think part of that, honestly, Ryan, has to do with age. I mean, you look at that defense, like, you know, we talk about the 2019 defense, the boogeymen, and how at the end they sort of slowed down. And obviously that was detrimental to the Patriots with Tom Brady as quarterback, had leaned on that defense all year long. It's a lot of the same guys, but it's 2 years later. It's Kyle Van Noy. It's Dante Hightower. It's Devin McCourty. It's Lawrence Guy. And I just wonder if the fact it's a 17-game season, the fact their bye was so late in the season, and how much the team has leaned on that defense, if those guys are wearing down a little bit as we get to the end of the year.
All right, so we'll get going there, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the quarterbacks, because there's obviously every time, you know, two first-round quarterbacks in the same draft match up against each other, there's some interest there. We can maybe redraft the quarterbacks in the in the 2021 draft this morning. We can also talk a little bit about the comparisons between a young quarterback like Mac Jones and more veteran quarterbacks around the league, including one, Russell Wilson, who's sounding more and more like he might be done in Seattle. And so Chris, in our email, posed the question this morning, would you give up Mac Jones if it got Russell Wilson here for the remainder of his contract? So we'll ask that question as well. 617-779-0985 is the number. Ryan Johnston in for Jim Murray here on Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I think it's gotten more comfortable as the season's gone on and, you know, gotten comfortable with the offense. And, you know, I'd say the offense has probably gotten comfortable with the things that he does best. And so definitely, you know, a good level of execution there. They did a good job last week against the Jets, you know, mixing in different varieties of passes, quick throws, moving pocket throws, deep balls, third down conversions, red area plays. You know, he's pretty good at all of them, you know, continues to get better. So I think he's had a, you know, good year and a solid NFL player. You know, maybe great, I don't know, but he's certainly made a lot of progress this year.
That's Bill Belichick talking about Trevor Lawrence throwing around maybe great. Is that just platitudes from Coach Belichick there toward his opponent? Or
yeah, I think that, I mean, could you say somebody's, look, he's a number one pick, he has a ton of talent, there's no question about that, but I mean, would you say someone who leads the NFL in turnovers like Trevor Lawrence does with 19, maybe great. It is interesting, though, and I know I posed this question in the email. And this is a question always, I think, Ryan, about young quarterbacks. It's the old nature versus nurture. If Trevor Lawrence had landed here and Mac Jones had landed in Jacksonville, do you think this season would be different for the Patriots? In other words, if they had Trevor Lawrence as their quarterback this year instead of Mac Jones, would they be a worse team? Would they not be in playoff position? Would he still have 19 turnovers?
I don't think he would have 19 turnovers. I pretty much know that for sure. Like, I don't think they would let him get to 19 turnovers.
That's a fair point.
But that said, do you think that Josh's approach to the offense would be different if he had Trevor Lawrence and his abilities versus Mac Jones and his abilities? You know, would they have managed Trevor Lawrence the same way they've appeared to manage Mac Jones? And, you know, given the one of the strengths of this team is their defense, they wouldn't have asked as much of Trevor Lawrence as Urban Meyer was asking of him in Jacksonville.
Completely. I mean, I think it would be pretty similar, to be honest with you. I think the one difference I can think of off the top of my head is that there probably would be some of the design run stuff they put in with Cam last year if they had Trevor Lawrence, because Trevor Lawrence can do some of that stuff. Not on a Cam Newton level, but certainly he's a much more athletic quarterback, much more able to make plays with his legs than Mac Jones. But overall, I feel like, yeah, they would. I mean, they wouldn't be asking Trevor Lawrence to throw as much as he's thrown. He's in the top five in the league in passes attempted. Now, some of that is because Jacksonville's behind, but some of that also is just because they put so much on him. Jacksonville's a terrible offensive line. I just think it's a bad situation for a young quarterback. And Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence will be compared to each other for years to come, I think. And that's the way it looks. And I just sort of wonder, if you flip-flopped them, what would it look like? You know, would Mac Jones look anything like he's looked here if he had to play in Jacksonville with that offensive line, that defense, and had been coached by Urban Meyer for most of the season? I don't think it would. I think he'd be having a much different season, one much closer to Trevor Lawrence's season than the one he's had here in New England.
I look at Trevor Lawrence as, I think he's going to be one of these first overall picks who's not going to be great when all is said and done. He's going to be a decent quarterback, in the, like a Carson Palmer type of a quarterback.
Matthew Stafford.
He's not Jamarcus Russell. He's not Jared Goff, that level bad. But he's going to be a decent quarterback who probably never wins a Super Bowl. But a lot of that is going to depend on, can he get the hell out of Jacksonville fairly early in his career and get somewhere else where he, because that, you're not going to win there. Not, that organization is not going anywhere. The hiring of Urban Meyer solidified that for me. Like, that was a disaster from the word go. I never thought that was going to work, and of course it didn't. It lasted less than a year. When your organization is making those types of gaffes, you're not going to be able to get the best out of any quarterback, no matter how much you try and how many cracks at it you get. Because you're just, you're not going to give him the tools that he needs to get the best out of him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you're the number one pick, right? Almost by definition, most of the times you're going to a bad football team and an organization that's in bad shakes. It'll be interesting to see what they do with the coaching decision there. You know, it's funny. I mean, you're right. I don't have a lot of faith in the ownership in Jacksonville, but you think back and it wasn't that long ago. It was only, what, 4 seasons ago? They were in the AFC Championship game against the Patriots, a game that you can say they should have won. Mm-hmm. Maybe they do win if they don't blow the whistle dead on Miles Jack picking up that fumble and returning it. So it's interesting. I mean, I think if they have the right football people in there, they maybe can succeed. I'm not ready to, you know, throw the towel in on Trevor Lawrence. I just think the situation he was in this year was just a complete abomination from an NFL standpoint and by NFL standards. And hopefully it doesn't permanently scar him.
Well, all right. So as promised.
Yes.
You got the number one overall pick in Trevor Lawrence. You've got Mac Jones, the number 15 overall pick. You got three quarterbacks in the middle there as well. Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, who looks like he's going to start tomorrow for San Francisco. And you've got Justin Fields in Chicago. From what you've seen so far, now that these guys have almost a full year of NFL experience under their belt and most of them have gotten some decent playing time, you got to redraft. You are the number one pick in this in the 2021 draft.
Yes.
Who's your guy?
I'm still taking Trevor Lawrence based on the talent. And as I just sort of stated, I think if he's in New England, his season looks an awful lot like Mac Jones. So I think if you can get him in a stable, competent organization, he's still the guy I take first.
All right. Who's next?
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones is two.
Mac Jones is two for me because Mac Jones is going to be a good quarterback in the NFL for a long time. Very good quarterback. Will he ever be great? Will he ever be elite? I don't know. Personally, I don't think so. But he's always going to be a quarterback who gives you a chance to win. He might not be the reason you win, like the Bradys or the Rodgers or the Brees or the Peyton Mannings. But he's more than good enough if you put what's around him to be able to contend year in and year out. He's number two. He has, you know, he might not have the highest ceiling, but he definitely has the highest floor. Like, he's always going to be a very good quarterback.
Yeah, I look at him and say, if what we've seen this year is indicative, I mean, theoretically, your rookie year should be your worst year, right? I mean,
theoretically, yeah.
You're inexperienced. You're still learning the league. The game is too fast for you. You're going to make some mistakes that you won't make later on in your career, hopefully, if your development is solid. So if this is as bad as Mac Jones can be, future's pretty good.
The one thing I'll say on that, and I agree with everything you said. I mean, obviously, Justin Herbert had a 30-touchdown pass season last year as a rookie. So if that's his last year, if that's his worst year, then he's probably going to be the greatest quarterback of all time. But what I'll say is people forget this with Mac Jones. He played at Alabama, which is basically the 33rd NFL team, the way Saban runs. I mean, he's NFL
pro-ready than anybody, right?
He has NFL head coaches as assistants on his staff. He has Doug Marrone and Bill O'Brien as assistants at Alabama. And the thing was, what did everybody say about Mac Jones coming out? He's the most NFL-ready guy. So he's already starting at a very high point. So I'm not sure you can necessarily assume that there's going to be this huge, like, incline. He came into the league, like, super NFL-ready. But I hear what you're saying.
All right. So Lawrence, then Jones.
Yeah.
What's the rest of your list? How's it going?
All right. So I'm going to go Trey Lance, who I really liked coming out of North Dakota State. We haven't seen a lot from him. He's the youngest of the quarterbacks.
This is a little bit of a leap of faith.
It's a leap
right?
of faith. He's the most raw, but I still think there's a lot of talent there. And I like the fact when he played in college, he didn't turn the football over. That's what he was known for.
Yeah, he has one start so far this year against Arizona. It was meh.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
But you know, that was week five. So we'll see what he's got likely tomorrow. And then, are you a Justin Fields guy or are you a Zach Wilson guy?
So I'm going to go with Justin Fields there. He's shown some flashes of being able to make some very good throws. The decision-making is problematic and inconsistent, but he's made some very good throws, and obviously he can make a lot of plays with his legs. So I'll go Justin Fields, and, you know, who would you go there?
I would probably go Fields little bit more on the upside, like a kind of a Lamar Jackson type of a player. The coaching in Chicago is brutal. Every time I see the Bears pop up on the red zone, it's like, what's Nagy doing now? Like it's I think that's a big problem. They got it, and this again goes back to the Trevor Lawrence situation. It's like, if you land in a bad spot as far as the talent around you and the coaching around you, it can sink these guys before they ever get the opportunity. And Absolutely. It feels to me like Justin Fields is one of those guys, and Zach Wilson is one of those guys too. Like, you land with the Jets, your future is not bright, no matter how good you are. Yeah. And I think Zach Wilson's got some talent, but he's not going anywhere with that group right now.
And the reason Wilson is fifth for me now is that he does have some talent, but you know, two things that I think are difficult to teach, or at least teach to the point where you can do it at a high NFL level: accuracy and decision making. And he struggled with both of them. And I think he plays a lot of hero ball out there. I think he's always going to be one of those quarterbacks who turns the ball over a ton.
I don't hate your list. I don't hate.
All right. Thank you.
I'm trying to figure out if it's too homerish to say Mac Jones would be number one on my list. But I think there's at least a conversation to be had there that
yes, 100%.
That he is, you know, the guy who might have the most longevity out of that group of players as far as it being a good quarterback in this
league. I mean, I wouldn't hate somebody who said they were taking Mac first. I just think if you're going to say you're taking Mac first, then you have to sort of own the fact that you're saying that you do think he will rise to the level of being one of those Brady, Brees, Rodgers, you know, elite quarterbacks. That's my only thing is, you know, people will say, obviously to me, hey, you're underrating this guy. And then I'll say, well, who is he? And then they'll come back and say, Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, Matt Ryan's very good and Matt Ryan won an MVP, but, you know, is there really that much difference between, say, like, what's the real difference between, like, Matt Ryan, Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins? Like, they're all kind of, you know, there's degrees there, but they're all basically the same.
They can get you to the playoffs, but that's about it.
Yeah,
that's
so
about as
like,
far as you're going to go.
You know, what are we really arguing about? If I say he's Kirk Cousins or Kirk Cousins plus, and you say, no, you're wrong, he's Matt Ryan. Like, what, I mean, yeah, Matt Ryan's better than Kirk Cousins, but by how much? Like, it's, what are we really arguing, you know?
I think it would be easier to say Jones over Lawrence if we had seen couple more games where Mac Jones was the reason why the Patriots won football games this year, right? He's been fine. He's been a passenger. He's been a passenger in some of those wins, though, and not necessarily the reason why they're winning.
Yes, and again, in Mac Jones' defense, I don't care who the quarterback is, you know, outside of having one of the elite guys. That's the way Bill Belichick built the team, was to not have to rely on the quarterback. I mean, they basically said, hey, we're going to build a team where the team around the quarterback elevates his play, as opposed to what we've done in the past with Brady, which was asking the quarterback to elevate the team around him. So it's kind of hard to penalize Mac for that because, I mean, that's the way the team's built.
Russell Wilson, sounding like this might be this weekend his last game in Seattle. We're going to talk a little bit about that and relate that to Mac Jones as well, coming up next as we continue here with Gasper and Murray, Ryan Johnston in for Murray here on a Saturday, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Chris Gasper and Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston along with Chris Gasper here on Gasper and Murray. Happy New Year to you. As we kick off 2022, talking a little bit about the Patriots and in particular Mac Jones as they get ready to take on Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars tomorrow. We have already redrafted the top five quarterbacks in the 2021 NFL draft. Lawrence and Jones, 1-2, would be the, in some order, would be the picks right now. Let me just, because this is something that Chris brought up in our emails prior to the show today. Russell Wilson is going into what could be his last game in Seattle. Talked about that this week, told reporters he hopes it's not his last game, but he said, same time, I know it won't be my last game in the NFL. You know, I'm going to be around in some fashion, just maybe not here. He understands the situation there. The Seahawks, 5-10 on the season, need some major overhauls. That would be a major overhaul, obviously, to move your franchise quarterback in an effort to try to rebuild.
And Seattle doesn't have a first-round pick. They traded it for Jamal Adams. Well, so they don't have a ton of draft capital to try and rebuild with.
And Russ would get you a pretty good return.
Draft capital.
What's
yes,
he you said he got 2 years left on his contract?
2 years left in his contract, yep.
So Chris posed the question. You have Mac Jones, you know, good rookie quarterback, looks promising, but may or may not be Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. Russell Wilson, tested, solid, really solid quarterback who's, you know, been to Super Bowl.
Top five quarterback, you know, in the league.
Like, this is a legit star quarterback. Where he is in his career versus where Mac Jones is, would you make the trade? If Seattle called up and said, hey, we're looking to restart, we're looking to go young at the quarterback position, but we got Russell Wilson, would you be tempted to make the deal?
I would be tempted to make the deal just because I think, look, you got Bill Belichick. Who knows how much longer he's going to coach? I'd say another 4 or 5 years. There's a 10-year age gap here, right? Russell Wilson is 10 years older than Mac Jones. But Russell Wilson is the type, like, you're hoping Mac Jones becomes as good as Russell Wilson.
Right.
Russell Wilson, you already know what he is, right? And he's talked about wanting to win a few more Super Bowls. If you're the Patriots, you have the complementary components that Russell Wilson has lacked in Seattle. Strong offensive line, reliable running game, very good defense. And now you look at it. Look at what Tom Brady's doing at his age, 44. Look at what Aaron Rodgers is doing at 38. You know, Russell Wilson is sort of one of those guys like Rodgers and Brady who takes really good care of his body. So 33 is not what it used to be for a quarterback. I would say Russell Wilson probably has, you know, 5 more elite years in him. So would you do that if you could bring him in? Also, his contract currently, he's due to make $50 million between base salary and roster bonuses the next 2 years. That's only $25 million a year AAV, average annual value. I mean, now where the quarterback market has gone with these deals, like, that's not that
much.
That's
a pretty manageable deal.
That's not that much. And, you know, if you get to year 3 with Mac and he's eligible for an extension or, you know, however you want to do it, or if you want to ride it all the way out, like Cleveland's probably going to do with Baker Mayfield, whatever, Mac's price is going to go up. It's really only like sort of the first 3 years that you get that real discount. If you start after that saying this guy's our franchise quarterback, then you start having to pay him like one. And we've seen with teams like the Rams and the Eagles, if you identify a guy as being a franchise quarterback and he's really not, Wentz or Goff, then you have big, big problems.
My hesitancy is, and I really like Russell Wilson as a player, and my hesitancy is his size and his, you know, body type and the game that he plays. Does it last as long as some of the quarterbacks that you mentioned? Is he still the same guy at 36, 37, 38? Than if he were a less mobile quarterback and a, you know, more of a pocket passer type of a guy, and hopefully a guy who doesn't take as much punishment. So that's a big hesitation for me. Listen, I'm always in favor of when people say, well, you know, I'd rather have the first round draft pick than this guy who's already in the league. Like, I usually side with, I'd rather take the guy who's already in the league, right? I'm more of a sure thing type of a guy,
yeah.
Because so many of those draft picks end up not panning out. Even when you think you've got the right guy, oftentimes it's not. And so that would be my concern about Mac Jones is, look, I've been really happy with what we've seen out of him in the first year. Does it translate as far as I think it will? I don't know. But I do know what Russell Wilson is in the NFL. And he's a damn good quarterback who can win you a Super Bowl.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I mean, from the Patriots standpoint, he's already won you a Super Bowl.
However, there's the you know, and as I waffle back and forth on this.
Yes.
The other side of it is the Patriots got really, really lucky to land Mac Jones in the middle of the first round without having to go into the tank to get a legit number one starting quarterback. we've seen a lot of teams that have taken a lot of cracks at it who haven't hit, including, by the way, the Patriots, right, who have drafted in the past Jimmy Garoppolo, Ryan Mallett, you know, this list of quarterbacks who, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is a starting quarterback in the league, but has...
Yeah, Jimmy's pretty good.
Yeah, but he can't stay healthy, and he's not exactly at an elite level.
So you already think Mac... So I'm listening to you talk here. You already think Mac's better than Jimmy?
Right now, I would take Mac over Jimmy, no question.
Really?
No question.
Interesting. Okay, I'm not there yet. I think they're pretty similar.
They're pretty similar, but I think the upside of Mac Jones is much higher than... I think Jimmy Garoppolo, this is who he is. I think he's a guy that is going to struggle to stay on the field, has for most of his career. The injuries are
brutal.
Killer.
That's true.
It's like one of the best things that you got out of Brady, in addition to the Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, was the guy never got hurt. He played 16 games for you every year. So that's number one. You got to have a quarterback that you can count on being in there.
That's a good point.
Every single
Jimmy's
game.
Jimmy's pretty fragile. Fragile.
So from the Jones versus Wilson perspective, I say, okay, there's the opportunity here for Mac Jones to grow into a really good starting quarterback in the league, and you might be able to get 15, 20 years out of that guy.
That's true, yeah.
If you were to make the deal, bring in Wilson, and he starts to fade toward the latter part of his career, you could wind up, Belichick walks away, Wilson's done or close to it, and now you're back in the draft hoping to find somebody as good as Mac Jones.
That's true.
So it depends on, are you looking for, hey, maybe we can win a Super Bowl or two in the next few years before Belichick retires, or are you more concerned about, hey, I'm going to be a fan for the next 20 years. I don't want to wind up after we win one Super Bowl, you know, watching the Cincinnati Bengals for the next 20 years.
Yeah, I look at it and say, if you can have, and I think you get a 5 or 6 years with Russell Wilson, and if you could win a Super Bowl or two, I'll take that. And then I'd look at it organizationally and say, okay, you know, I trust the Patriots. I guess it comes down to what you think Mac Jones is. And I'm not convinced yet that he's this super special quarterback. I think, you know, based on what I've seen thus far, I think you can find another Mac Jones-ish quarterback in the draft. Now, I could be wrong, and maybe he ends up being an elite guy. You know, he is that Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, you know, Russell Wilson, Mahomes type of quarterback. And then those guys are extremely difficult to find. But if he's just basically like another Garoppolo or Garoppolo plus, like, I think you can find that in the draft, and you don't have to draft in the first round to find that guy. And you'd have 5 or 6 years to find that successor eventually to Russell Wilson. And oh, by the way, you're a legitimate Super Bowl contender every year in the meantime.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. You have 5 or 6 years. When do you pull the trigger, and do you land the right guy? And then how long does it take you to figure out whether that guy's the right guy or not? Because that, when you draft a quarterback, like, you've got to be willing to put at least a few years into him most of the time,
sure,
before you figure out whether there's anything there or not. And oftentimes that involves, well, he has to actually start for a while before you can make that decision. So you don't take the shot probably until, you know, Wilson is a year or two out from being done. Then you get the new guy onto the field. If he turns out to be a bust, you're back to square one, and now you might be 5 years out again.
Maybe, but, I mean, let's not forget about last year. It's not like the Patriots went straight from Tom Brady to Mac Jones. I mean, they had a year there where it was like, holy crap, what are we doing
at
quarterback?
I look at that and say they got really, really lucky, because Mac Jones should not have been there at number 15.
That's true, yeah. That's,
you know,
true.
We just redrafted the quarterbacks and said he's number two.
He's number two.
Right,
yeah.
They should have Zach Wilson as their quarterback. And I'm guessing that Bill probably wouldn't have taken Zach Wilson.
But okay, but let me ask you this along those lines, though, because I know who the second quarterback they would have taken. It was Davis Mills.
Oh,
and
really?
Davis Mills has had a pretty good year with the Texans and just beat the Chargers. Like, I don't think Davis Mills is as good as Mac Jones, but I don't think he's nearly as far off as people here think he is. And again, if he's playing for Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels and with this defense, and I mean, remember, this is the organization that said to Ian O'Connor in his book that, you know, Tom Brady's not that special. We think we can win with any of the top 15 quarterbacks. So all you really need is like a top 15 quarterback. That's sort of what they're telling you, that they feel like they can win with a lot of guys. So if that's the case, then, you know, maybe you don't need to hit the lottery with Mac Jones after, or Mac Jones type of guy after Russell Wilson is gone.
Well, if that's the case, you also don't need Russell Wilson either.
Well, that's a good point. I guess I would just say to that.
I mean, they didn't feel like they needed Tom Brady, so they clearly wouldn't feel like they need Russell Wilson.
That's a good point. I guess I would just say, what's your level of being good? And has that changed for them at all based on the last 2 years? Seeing, because I think last year, a lot of it was about the hubris of we can win basically with anybody. Mm. So they slapped Cam Newton in there, and then you get slapped in the face with a 7-9 season. Now you have Mac, who's been good, and you're reeling off 7 in a row, and you're like, oh, we can do this to anybody. And then you lose to you know, fellow contenders. Is there any sort of point where you're like, okay, maybe it's not top 15. Maybe it's like top whatever. And I guess part of it for me, too, is does it play in it, it's the rest of the roster, right? Like, I feel like you have a roster that's pretty set up to win now. You have some aging defensive players you're going to have to replace in the next couple of years. Like, even Matthew Judon. Matthew Judon's having a great – Matthew Judon's 29 years old. Mm. It's not like Matthew Judon's 25. I mean, he's not over the hill, but, you know, his prime years are now. His prime years are going to be the next 3 years. So do you want to be able to fully take advantage of that or not? Remember, they went out in free agency and spent all this money to get an insta-team. It's, yeah, there's young draft picks that look good, like Mac Jones and Ramondre Stevenson. But you have J.C. Jackson, who's at the end of his deal, will have to be franchised. You signed all these free agent guys. Like, they're win-now guys. This is mostly a win-now team around a young quarterback. If you get me the quarterback, like, Mac Jones could be elite. If you get me the quarterback that I know is elite, I look at the Patriots and I'm like, well, okay, that's a Super Bowl team.
Right. Especially the way the AFC is comprised right now.
Yeah.
Let's go to Zach in Woburn up here with Gasper and Johnston on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hey, Zach.
Hey, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Gasper, brother, love you. Mean it. But Mac Jones, 2. Trey Lance, 3. Here's my thing. And this makes me crazy, okay?
Sure.
Justin Fields, I contested. Justin Fields was the best quarterback in that draft. And I will die on that hill. And you look at, number one, the Bears suck, okay? They cannot get open. They cannot protect the quarterback. Matt Nagy fired himself from play calling. He was so bad, all right? But the one gripe Pats Nation's had all year long is Matt, they won't put the ball in Mac's hands. Training wheels are on. Won't lose stretch the field. The Bears do. And eyeball test alone. Far superior arm, far superior ball, much better athlete, but they put the ball in his hands and he delivers. His throws are lasers because they can't get open. Pittsburgh, prime time, big game, under 2 minutes on the road, takes his team down the field, through the air, touchdown, takes the lead back. His last start before he got hurt again, he drove them into the red zone in the air 4 times. Nagy went for it on 4th down every time. They lost by 9, okay? The kid is the truth. He's on a terrible team. In a trash organization, but you watch him and you watch what he does, the way he executes versus Mac Jones or anybody else. He is by far the far superior quarterback, and it's making me crazy that he is not in the conversation. I will never forgive my Broncos for not drafting him. Never.
That's funny. Appreciate the call, Zach.
I mean, yeah, good call. I mean, some good points on Fields. I guess here's the thing. Do you want to watch the game or do you want to watch the highlights? Because if you want to watch the highlights, yeah, I agree with what he's saying about Justin Fields. And he's a young quarterback and he could grow out of it, no question about it. But the consistency isn't there. The consistency of accuracy, the consistency of decision-making isn't there. And would he benefit from being – I think every single one of these guys would benefit from being in a situation like the Patriots where there's not as much on you as the quarterback. Absolutely. But I will say that, you know, accuracy and decision-making-wise – Mac Jones is already at a very, very high NFL level. And that's stuff to me that you can improve upon. But some guys just have it innately. Like Brady just innately was a great decision maker and very accurate. And Mac Jones, I don't think he's Tom Brady, but I do think innately he's very accurate and he makes very good decisions.
Let's go to Danny and Stowe up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Good morning, Danny.
Happy New Year, gentlemen.
Happy New Year.
I was listening to you guys, and you guys are talking about taking the training wheels off. I can't think of a better game than Sunday's game to allow Matt Jones to make some decisions at the line on his own. He's a smart quarterback. He's probably the smartest one of all the draft picks. He needs to make mistakes, yes, and he's going to learn from those mistakes, and there's no better way to do it than on your own. As far as Russell Wilson, He's a good quarterback, but I'm telling you, if I'm Russell Wilson and I'm on the 2 yard line, I'm sorry, but I'm checking off that play and I'm running the ball for a touchdown. So he's not very smart. And I'll let your opinion on that.
I don't think he's not very smart. I mean, Tom Brady threw a terrible interception in the end zone in 2005 against Denver. Is Tom Brady not smart?
On occasion.
I mean, everybody makes terrible throws. I mean, what, is Aaron Rodgers dumb? Because he could have run in for a touchdown in the NFC Championship game last year. The lane was wide open for him to run in for the go-ahead touchdown. He didn't do it. Is Aaron Rodgers dumb?
Well, on that play, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they all can be dumb on a play. That doesn't mean that he's dumb. I mean, I don't know. I think that's I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
Can I also say this one's crawling up? Like, this whole idea the training wheels are on Mac Jones and like the offense is holding him back. You people have it wrong. You have it twisted. First of all, there aren't training wheels on him. He's a conservative quarterback by nature. Like, that's him. And he is making changes and plays and stuff at the line of scrimmage. What they're doing is helping him. What they're doing is making him look like the quarterback that you like. And you feel like somehow they're holding him back from being Tom Brady, which is ridiculous. Like, if they let him just go buck wild, he'd look a lot closer to Trevor Lawrence than Tom Brady. Like, this is my thing.
You're talking about
Mac
the
Jones.
19 picks Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, I don't know. 19 turnovers. I don't think he'd be that high. But I'm just saying this idea that somehow, like, McDaniels and Belichick are hampering him, not helping him, is absurd. You people have to accept the fact that right now, as a rookie, Mac Jones is a lot closer to Tua and Teddy Bridgewater than he is to Tom Brady. He just is. Like, he's high completion percentage, a lot of conservative throws, because that's the way he plays, and that's how he feels comfortable playing. They're not saying, like, Mac, don't throw it to this guy open down the field. Mac, don't take any chances. That's not what is happening. Like, you look at that Tennessee game, right? He throws a 4-yard crossing route to Kendrick Bourne, who turns it into a 41-yard touchdown. That is Mac Jones benefiting from the Patriots' offense. He has benefited from the way they've handled him and this team more than it's, like, hampered him or hurt him or held him back. I think that's ridiculous.
All right, we can continue to take your calls on the Patriots, Mac Jones, quarterbacks, and we've also got some thoughts we want to get in here on the Celtics win yesterday. We're not doing a full-on Celtics show because of the Bruins pregame starting at 12:30, but we do have some thoughts on them, so we'll get to those coming up as well. 617-779-0985. Ryan Johnston joining Chris Gasper here on Gasper and Murray on New Year's Day.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
WIFFNHD Boston. From the Town Fair Tire Studios. This is Boston's most listened to sports station. On air, online, and the Sports Hub app. Boston's home for sports is 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A Beasley Media Group station. Sports Hub headlines.
The Bruins, after a lengthy layoff, finally able to get back onto the ice today. 1 o'clock faceoff over at the Garden. They'll take on the Buffalo Sabres. First game for the Bees in 16 days. Coverage begins with our Duncan pregame at 12:30 across the New England Honda Bruins radio network. The Bees announcing yesterday they are scheduling Willie O'Ree's jersey retirement ceremony for January 18th when the team hosts Carolina. Celtics snapped a three-game losing streak yesterday with a 123-108 win over the Suns, despite playing without Jason Tatum. They got 24 points apiece from Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown. They host Orlando tomorrow night. Prior to yesterday's game, the Celtics announcing the passing of legend Sam Jones, the age of 88. Jones was part of 10 NBA championship teams in 12 seasons with Boston and a five-time All-Star. Patriots will host the Jaguars tomorrow in Foxborough. Nelson Agholor has been ruled out as he deals with a concussion. Eight players listed as questionable. NFL quarterback news. The Vikings won't have Kirk Cousins this week. He's got COVID. He's not vaccinated, so he can't test back in. The Ravens likely without Lamar Jackson, although he has not been officially ruled out. He did miss practice again yesterday. The Bears are going to start Andy Dalton at quarterback this week. Nick Foles moves to backup, and Jimmy Garoppolo is doubtful for the Niners game against Houston tomorrow as well. One other NFL note, longtime head coach Dan Reeves has died at the age of 77. And in college football, it'll be Georgia.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation.org to get involved.